Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, open up our hearts and our minds and show us, Lord, the many resurrections in our lives. Amen. I was in my early 30s when I was first diagnosed. I had a battle of kidney stones. Oh, yay, that was fun. And in the ultrasound, the doctors found a number of large cysts on my kidneys. And after checking with family history, I was diagnosed with polycystic kidney disease. And was probably one of the epic medical diagnoses. The doctor told me at that point that by the time you're 55, you'd be on dialysis. Well, he nailed it right on the head. And by that time at 55, my kidneys had failed enough that I had to go on dialysis. Now, there are two kinds, and one you're probably familiar with is called hemodialysis. That's where you get connected to a machine, and they take all of your blood out, they filter it, and put it all back in. Well, actually, it's more of a continuous process. And the second one is called peritoneal, and I won't get into a whole lot of detail. But anyway, they put in 2 liters of fluid, and then after so long, you have to take it out and put new fluid in. And that gave me a certain level of freedom. But I still had to make what was called exchanges a couple of times a day. Well, they eventually put me on what's called a cycler, and during the night, I would be able to cycle that fluid. But the problem with that is the whole process took about 12 hours. Well, I never really let on, but that was a very, very frustrating and difficult process for me. Mainly because I was restricted. You know, you have a very variable schedule, day to day, week to week, emergencies, meetings, and it was very difficult to balance what was necessary to do with medically what was necessary. Well, then came along my resurrection miracle. And it came through a person by the name of Denise Bernthal. Now, many of you may know her. She grew up in this congregation. Her married name is Saunders. And we had never met. And the Lord laid it upon her heart to be tested about whether or not she might be a donor for a kidney transplant. Now, she was one of many people in the congregation and elsewhere who was tested. But after the period of testing, it was decided that she was a match. Now, we had never met before. And the first time we actually sat down to talk is when the decision was made that she was a match. Well, that process went through, and 3.5 years later, I'm healthy, I'm strong, I have a new life, and that's an amazing transformation. Now, you may not know it, but pastors have a difficult time deciding, well, what am I going to preach on Easter? I mean, same message, Jesus alive. How do you preach on that year after year? Well, I started asking that question, and it dawned on me that what God gives us is what I call mini resurrections. Moments or times in our lives in which, a time in which we may have been restricted by certain things, we now have a new life, a restoration to a certain degree. Some of you have received that mini resurrection in 3 words. You are cancer free. That's 4 words. You are cancer free. Anyway, you are cancer free. You've gone through the doctor's appointments, the lab tests, you've gone through the surgery and maybe chemo or radiation, and you've gone through all of that restrictive process, and then the doctor tells you those words, you are cancer free. Some others have faced surgery, really major surgery, and you've worried about it, you've been concerned about it, and you've prayed about it for a long period of time, and then comes the day of your surgery. And by the way, when you're in surgery, that's the easy part because you're asleep through all of it. It's your family and friends who are in the waiting room, sitting on pins and needles, counting the seconds as if they were minutes. And then finally, that word comes from the surgeon. Everything went as well as expected. You may have some rehab that you have to do, but eventually what happens is you have a restoration. Maybe it's not full health, but it's certainly much better than what you had before when you were sick. Maybe it comes from the words of saying, I've been sober for 10 years. You've gone through the difficulty of your addiction to drugs or to drinking. It's wreaked havoc upon you and upon your family. You've stolen, you've done all things against your family. And then you have that mini resurrection that says, I need to do something. And so you go into a process, you find help, and then you can say that I'm 10 years sober. And you face that mini resurrection day to day. Or maybe it's a retirement. You've put in your years, you've worked really, really hard. Maybe there are times in which you've spent too much away from family because you've worked late at night, or you've taken trips that have lasted several days, and you've missed those important moments with your family and with your children, and then you make that decision. You retire, and you have a mini resurrection, a new life, a place in which you have more control over your time. I've always said the best retirements are when you are busy as you have always been, but now you make more choices of how you spend your time. The list can go on. So what are the mini resurrections in your life? Times and moments in which things have changed from a more restrictive time into a more restored time. That new restoration, that mini resurrection, isn't always a complete thing. You may still be dealing with certain illnesses, but you've had that moment in which there's been a great improvement. And we gather together this morning. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And it's difficult for us to really understand, you know, what does that mean? One of the impacts is to look at those times and moments in which you've had that mini resurrection. But what comes to mind for me is Paul's letter to the 1 Corinthians, first letter to the Corinthians, 13th chapter, 12th verse. He says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully as I have been fully known." What he tells us is that God gives us these little glimpses into the glory of God. Little glimpses and insights into those many resurrections or the glorified God or what heaven is all about. And Paul says it's looking at a mirror and you see it in a dimly lit room. You just get a little glimpse of it. It's not very clear. And Paul says then the time comes when we will see it face to face. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ. It is the one historical event that has changed our lives, that has given us new hope, that has given us new life, that promise. We can't grasp it fully until that day comes. We can grasp those little miracles, the little glimpses that God gives us, the little power and strength that He's given us. Celebrate that resurrection of Christ, because it is the most powerful thing. It gives us life. It gives us light. It gives us hope and promise for the future, so that you and I can be here this morning and we can say boldly, Alleluia! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.